In Eretz Yisrael, there's a seven-year cycle. Every seventh year is Shemitah. So during Shnas HaShemitah, there's no obligation to be mafresh Trumas HaMaisis. And the 6 years, when there is an obligation, so it's divided into two units. The first 3 years, and then you have Shas HaBir. You have from Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year till Pesach of the fourth year to give away all the Trumas HaMaisis. And then the next 3 years is the next unit you have from Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah till Erev Pesach of Shemitah to give away all the Trumas and Maisers. And then on Erev Pesach, when the farmer has fulfilled all the mitzvahs, so he recites it, Vidui Maiser. That's what the Mishnah called. Why it's called Vidui? Vidui usually means you admit that you did something wrong. Here the farmer says the reverse. He says, Biyarte HaKadosh Ben Avaz, I did everything. Sisi Kochal Hashem Tzivisani. I did everything he told me. So the Mefarshim work on that. Why is it called Vidui Maisa? But that's the din of the 7 years of Shemitah. So the first 2 years of the Shemitah cycle, Yemafish Tribulat, Maisa Risha, Maisa Sheni. And the third year, Yemafish Maisa Oni instead of Maisa Sheni. And then you have the Bir, Shas HaBir, you have 6 months. Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year till Erev Pesach, to give away everything they're supposed to give away. The Maaser Sheni you don't give away, you have to eat it up. You have to finish eating up all the Maaser Sheni on Erev Pesach of the fourth year. And then again, the fourth year, the fifth year, you try Mafresh Trum Gedolah Maaser Maaser Sheni, and then the sixth year, instead of Maaser Sheni, Mafresh Maaser Rani. Yeah. So what if a farmer has a ton of Maaser Sheni, he has a gigantic farm, and if he'll be required to transport everything to Yerushalayim, he'll go broke. It'll be more expensive to transport it to Yerushalayim than the whole value of the Maaser Sheni. So the Torah says that you can be paid when the Sata Kesef, the Tzata Kesef Biyadecha, it says in the Chumash, Ki Yechat Mimcha Malkin Ki Lo Suchel Seisa Ki Yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. You had a bountiful year. You have a lot of payers, and it's way too expensive to transport it because you live far away from Yerushalayim. So then you can be paid of Tzatah Kesper. They can take the money to Yerushalayim, and you buy food, Tohar Dikr food, and then you have to eat it, B'kdusha L'Tahara. And it's the same din by Netta Revai. If you plant the tree any year, you're not allowed to plant trees in Shemitah, any one of the 6 years you plant the tree. So the first 3 years, perhaps nothing will grow, but if peres grow, the peres are also b'chilma, no? And then the fourth year, the peres have to be brought to Yerushalayim, the same as Maaser Sheni, and if it's too prohibitive, it's too expensive to transport it, so then you can be paid to the net to provide, bring that money to Yerushalayim, and also the same thing. So the Gemara says, you can be paid to Maaser Sheni, net to provide, berichok mokam, because the Pasuk says, kirchak bimcha mokam. You can't be paid to Maaser Sheni Bekir of Mokum in Yerushalayim. That's, I already brought the Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Lefnim and Achayim, there are walls around Yerushalayim. And I already brought it into Yerushalayim. So there's a din of Mechitzas Koltos. Like you have in baseball, you wear a glove. So you catch the ball. So here, the Chomus here is Koilei to Maaser Sheni. That's it. There's a din men atar. There's a din men the rabbanim. Mechitza lechol is the rice of the din that you're not allowed to eat. Maaser Sheni at the vaychutz Yerushalayim. That's called mechitza. Mechitza Yerushalayim are relevant. You can only eat the Maaser Sheni at the vaychutz in Yerushalayim. That's a din the rice. Mechitza liklot is only the rabbanim. What's mechitza liklot? Two din of the rabbanim. Number one, once you brought it into Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. And even if you did, number two, even if you did take it out of Yerushalayim, it can no longer be poided. When I tell you, may remove it from Yerushalayim, and once you remove it, you can be poided. You can't be poided while it's in Yerushalayim. So that's one din. Pidyon ma'aser she'enin neter revayi b'richa k'makan. Richa k'makan means afilu p'siya achas. The Gemara has a case in Makkas. The Gemara has a case. The guy, like a hobo, he has a stick, and on the end of this, and the end of the stick, he has a bag, and he has ma'aser she'enin in there. So if he walked toich ha'chaima, but the ma'aser she'enin is still chutz l'chaima, he can still be paida. He's only a half a step out of Yerushalayim. He's in Yerushalayim. The stick with the Ma'aser She'eni is Chutz Yerushalayim. So the Ma'aser She'eni Chutz Yerushalayim can be paid. But once you bring it into Yerushalayim, you cannot be paid in Yerushalayim. That's a din minatari. You cannot be paid in Yerushalayim. Minatari, you can take it out and be paid at Chutz Yerushalayim. But with Rabbanan, that's a din of the Chitz Liklo. The Chitz Yerushalayim, not Koilet, you can't be paid. So there's one din, you can only be paid in Ma'aser She'eni Chutz Yerushalayim. Or even if it's in Yerushalayim, Ma'aser She'eni has to be eaten with Tahara. So what if Ma'aser She'eni is Nitma, it became Tameh. So then the Gemara says, Ma'aser She'eni is Nitma, you can be poida even in Yerushalayim. So some of the Achreinim raised the question, are these two different dinim opinion? You can be poida either B'richot Mokheim, or you can be poida B'tumim. Are they two different dinim? Or maybe atzad shav shebehem, maybe it's one din pinyon. Can only be po the ma'aser she'eni or the neter revayi if it's now in a position that there's no mitzvah to eat it. You can't eat ma'aser she'eni in chutz l'Yerushalayim. Usuch alecha v'sherecha ma'aser digonecha v'sherecha v'yitzarecha. You're not allowed to eat it chutz l'Yerushalayim. Only eat Ma'aser She'eni in Yerushalayim. Not allowed to eat the Chutz Yerushalayim. Not allowed to eat Ma'aser She'eni in the state of Tumah. So maybe outside the Shav Shabbat, maybe they're not two different dinim opinion. There's one din opinion Berichot Mokam and one din opinion if it's Nitma. Maybe it's one and the same din. Whenever the Ma'aser She'eni is now in a position that there's a mitzvah to eat it, it's Tahar in Yerushalayim, then it doesn't lend itself to opinion. Whenever it's in a position, either it's Berichot Mokam, or it's Nitma, Ma'aser She'eni she Nitma. So whenever the Ma'aser She'eni is in a situation that there's no mitzvah to eat it, you can't eat it. So then it lends itself to pinyon. What's a nafka mina with one din or two dinim? Nafka mina is like this. The Gemara says, we mentioned yesterday, I think, Gemara says in Makkas and in Zvachim, the Gemara learns out from Psukim that you can only eat Ma'aser She'eni in Yerushalayim when there's Mizbeach Banui. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, this story in the Gemara, Reb Lezer had a farm, and he had Neter Revayi, and he was going to be Matkel Aniyim, because he couldn't schlep it to Yerushalayim. And the Talmidim said that even though it's within one day's distance from Yerushalayim, Reb Yechaman Zakkai was the chief rabbi, and he in the Besdin repealed that din. In earlier generations, they made a din to Rabban, whoever has that the Revayi within one day's traveling to Yerushalayim is not allowed to be paid there, and you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. So after the, what's the reason? Yerushalayim in Paris. Yerushalayim should look pretty with all the fruits and vegetables and everything. So after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim is in the control of the Romans. No, it's not a Jewish city, it's a Goyish city. And soldiers and policemen all over the place. And there's no mitzvah, there's no Indian of Paris. We should make Yerushalayim a beautiful city for the Romans. It doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai repealed the takan. So the shaila is, the Gemara says you cannot eat Ma'aser She'eni even in Yerushalayim if the Nivgam HaMizbeach. You have to have HaMizbeach Bonui. Because the pasuk compares Yachalta Shom of Nehash HaMalakecha Ma'aser Digoncha V'Sarecha V'Sarecha V'Choris B'Korcha V'Tzaynecha. Kachikachim have to be eaten in the Azor B'Kachim Kalim. B'Choris B'Kachim Kalim. So Kachim Kalim can be eaten in Yerushalayim. The eating Ma'aser She'eni is put in the Pasuk together with eating Kachim Kalim. And then there's another Pasuk that indicates that just like you cannot be Zorik the Dam, unless the Mizbech is, but it can't be Zorik the Dam on the floor. You have to have a Mizbech. You have to be Zorik the Dam on a Mizbech. So if you don't have a Mizbeach, you can't be Zorik the Dam. So you cannot eat, even if you were Zorik the Dam on the Mizbeach. Then the Mizbeach was Neharas, it was destroyed, it was ruined, or it's no longer Ravua. It has to be a square on top. So if part of the stones were chipped away, there's no longer Ravua, then you're not allowed to eat Korbanus. You're not allowed to, you can't eat the Maaseh Sheni. He can't eat the Kodesh Mekalim in Yerushalayim. But the Nami, if it's Nivgam HaMizbech, he can't eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. So today, there is no Mizbech in Yerushalayim, so we're not allowed to eat Maaseh Sheni. There are three reasons. We can't eat Maaseh Sheni no more because everybody's stomach. The person in stomach can't eat Maaseh Sheni. Number two, almost all the Maaseh Sheni is stomach. All the Maaseh Sheni. If a person is stomach, he touches the Maaseh Sheni, becomes stomach. Unless there are four things that are in the Kabbal Tumma. Adam and Kevim, Ochlim, and Mashim. So Oichlim has a quirk. Oichlim is on the Kabbal Tumma. If it was rinsed off, has to have Hechsher. So if the Maaseh Sheni, fruits and vegetables, whatever, if it was never washed off with one of the Zayin Mashkim, then it's not the Kabbal Tumma. But usually everything is Huchshah the Kabbal Tumma. So there are three reasons why you can't eat the Maaseh Sheni. Number one, the Maaseh Sheni is usually going to be Tomei, unless it was never Huchshah. Number two, the person is Tomei, so almost everybody's Tomei. And number three, there's no Mizbech Boni. So that's from this Taisvis, Ubikesh, and the Taisvis of Beitza also, the Achrenim point out, it would appear from Taisvis, that the Dinim are not identical. Even though most of the Dinim are identical, where you eat Maaseh Sheni, where you eat Net the Revai, are the same, but it would appear from the Taisvis that there's a difference. To eat Maaseh Sheni, the Yerushalayim, you have to have a Mizbech Bani. To eat that, to revive Yerushalayim, it would appear from Taisvah that you don't need a Mizbech Bani. You just need Kedushas Yerushalayim. So that's what Taisvah discusses. Rav Lezer lived after the Churban Abayis, and he thought that he's going to have to bring the Maaseh Sheni, then have to revive Yerushalayim to eat it. How can you eat that, to revive Yerushalayim? So apparently he thinks Kitcha Lossi Lovoi. So Taisvah raises the issue, but it's not so clear in other Gemara's what Rav Lezer's opinion is. Where the kitchen lost in love, it's machlekes, the Rambam and the Rabbi machlekes, satanoim. Where the Yerushalayim, or Kedusha Samikdush, is kitchen lost in love, or like kitchen lost in love. So the Taisvah works on that cash. So from the Taisvah, it would appear that you only need that Gemara in Makkas, that Gemara in Makkas that says you can only eat Maaseh Sheni when you have Mizbech Banui, only applies to Maaseh Sheni, doesn't apply to Netter Revai. So let's say I have Net the Revai in Yerushalayim, and it's Tahor, and it's not Nitma. But the Nom is Be'ach Bonri. Let's say you have Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, so it's not Berichek Mokam, and it's not Tomei, Maaseh Sheni is Tahor. Can you be Poided in Yerushalayim? Whenever the Maaseh Sheni is in a state that if you hold that, it's not two different dinim, it's one and the same din. Whenever the Maaseh Sheni can be eaten, kimitzvasei, then there's no pinyon. Whenever it's either nitmos, it can't be nechal, the tumah, or it's berichuk makam, it's chutz liyushan, can't be eaten. So then it lends itself to pinyon, so maybe even if it's tahor in Yerushalayim, but there's no mizbech banoi. No mizbech banoi, so you can't eat the maaseh sheni. So then it should be able to have pinyon even in Yerushalayim. So that's what there's a sefer pas hashulchan. The Talmidim, the Vilna Gaon encouraged all of his Talmidim to go to Eretz Yisrael. So in the early 1800s, Talmidi Hagro, there was an Aliyah Talmidi Hagro, and the Baal Shem Tov also encouraged his Talmidim that should move to Eretz Yisrael. They both felt that if we'll move to Eretz Yisrael, this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. So that's when the Ashkenazim started moving to Eretz Yisrael, the early 1800s. So one of the Talmidim of the Gro wrote a sefer, Pa'as HaShulchan. Shulchan Aruch is very big, but the tour, the whole Shulchan Aruch is based on the tour. The tour lived in the Chutzlort. Tour was the son of the Rosh. He lived first in Germany, and then the Rosh ran away to Spain. He lived in Spain, so he didn't live anywhere near it. So in the tour, Simon Shin Lamed Aleph in Yeridaya doesn't have too much because Shin Lamed Aleph is all about the mitzvahs of Tzvi Yisbaris. He didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rav Yosef Karo lived in Tzvat. So he has Shin Lamed Aleph is very long, but even though it's very long, it doesn't have all the details. When the Talmidei Hagro moved there, it's so in the early 1800s. So one of the Talmidim wrote this sefer Pa'as HaShulchan. It's like a corner of the Shulchan Aruch, and he made a whole sefer out of Shin Lamed Aleph. He wrote all the details of Trumas and Maisus and Shemitah and everything. And then they have a Likud in connection with the Pa'as HaShulchan. They have footnotes there. So in the old edition, the original edition of Pas HaShulchan, so they quote a tshuva from the Radvaz that he distinguishes between Maaseh Sheni, Net, and Revai, that one of them has pinyon even if it's in Yerushalayim, if there's no Mizbech Banui, even though the Maaser Sheni is Tohar, and it's in Yerushalayim, but since no Mizbech Banui, so you can't eat it, so lend itself to Binyan. Now Sheni came on Netta Revai, there, apparently you don't need Mizbech Banui. That's what it would appear from this place. You don't need a Mizbech Banui. So that's what Tosis discusses over here. Why did Rabbi Lezer think, what did he think he's going to gain by being Matkel Aniyim? They're going to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there, but if Lo Kitchel Lo Silavas, it's Yerushalayim, geographically it's Yerushalayim, but it's not Kedushas Yerushalayim. If you say Lo Kitchel Lo Silavas, then you can't eat the Maaser Sheni there. You can't eat the Netter Arai there. So Tosis says, Enoch and Abi, you can't eat it. But there was a Gzeira de Rabbanon that you're not allowed to, if you have net to revive within one day's traveling distance to Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to be poignant, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it. So even after the Churban, that there was no Kedusha to Yerushalayim, they said, still the Gzeira de Rabbanon still apply. You won't be able to eat it, the Kedusha with Tahara, because the name is Bech, if it's Maaser Sheni. You won't be able to eat it in Yerushalayim, the Kedusha with Tahara, because the name is Bech Banon. But you still have to eat it in that location, in the geographic location of Yerushalayim, even though you have to be paid to it. And then you have to take the money, throw it into the Yam HaMelech, destroy it. That's a din of biur. Let's say a lot of times the boys learn in the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, so they have a big Israeli coin, and they use it for pinyan Maaser Sheni. Then they come to America, they come back to America after a year or two or three, then they take their Israeli coin back with them to America. In America, you can't use the Israeli coin for Pinyan Maaser Sheni. Pinyan Maaser Sheni is only, you need Davka Kesef. Usually we say, Kol HaTar Kula Shot Kesef Kesef. I'd say when you get married, so you give the girl a ring. Isha Miskadesh is Bekesef, that's not Kesef. So on the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, it says, you can either Bepruta or Beshaberpruta. So Tosfos has the long, big fat Tosfos there. And the Ramban and the Rashba, all the Rishonim discuss, how did the Tanoim know that Shavah Kesev is Kekesev? So the Rishonim worked it out. Shavah Kesev is Kekesev in Kol HaTorah Kulo, with only three exceptions to the rule. So one of them is Pinyan Maaser Sheni. Pinyan Maaser Sheni can only be paid on Kesev. He can't be paid on Shavah Kesev. So Kesev means a legal tender in that country. If I bring an Israeli coin back from Eretz Yisrael to America, in America, the Israeli coin is not Kesev. It's not recognized by the American government as legal tender. Legal tender means I owe you money and I want to pay you, so I'm gonna give you Israeli coins. Israeli coins are not recognized by the American government as cash, so I can't force you to accept it. That's not legal tender. Legal tender means in Eretz Israel, it's recognized by the Israeli government as money. So that's a shaila. Let's say Rabbi Neuwirth, who wrote the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, was a Yekke. He was brought up in Germany before the war, together with a lot of the Yekkes who davened in Breuers. They were friendly. He always used to help him and support him. So he had a Pruta Chamur, he had an Israeli coin. He lived in Beit Vigat. He had an Israeli coin. And in Breuers community, every year they had a newsletter. The shul had a newsletter. So every year in the Rosh Hashanah issue, they would put an announcement that Rabbi Neuwirth from Beit Vigan gives all those who are members of Breuers Kehillah permission to use his coin, his Israeli coin, for the purpose of being paid in Maaser Sheni. He had a big coin. He had a big coin, a couple of dollars worth. And when people are paid, just using a Shavuot Pruta's worth. He passed away already, so that's not done anymore. So in England, they have in Manchester, the Bezet of Manchester set aside a British coin that's legal tender in Great Britain, and they gave everyone in the whole wide world permission to use their coin, provided you emailed them a few minutes in advance. So they keep a record of how many times the coin was used for the purpose of Pinyan Maaser Sheni. You're going to use it up. When you use it so many times, you're going to use it up, then they have to switch the Kedusha on this coin onto a different coin and start all over again. So the question is, the coin has to be legal tender in which country? The country, let's say, I live in New York and I have some fruits and vegetables that are tevel in Eretz Yisrael, and I want to use the coin in Manchester, England, to be paid at my Maaser Sheni. So the person who's doing the pinyan is in New York. the fruits that is that are tevel that he's going to be paid in the Ma'aser Sheni are in Eretz Yisrael, and the coin is in Great Britain. So does it depend where the coin is? Does it depend where the person is? Or does it depend where the Ma'aser Sheni is? So the two gears, the Gemara talks about it. So the Gemara Bava Kama, the end of Bava Kama, and HaGoizel. So there are two gears in the Gemara. The Rambam's Girsa is that it depends where the Rambam's Girsa is, it depends where the person is. And the Ravid's Girsa is it depends where the money is. Nobody says that there is no such Girsa. It doesn't depend where the payers are, that's for sure not. The only question is, does it depend where the person is, or does it depend where the money is located? So the Rambam's opinion is that it depends where the person is located. So the Chazanish said that we don't pasken like the Rambam, because the Rambam's Girsa was wrong. Because the Ravid shows it does make any sense. So that's the Psak HaMekubal, it depends where the money is. So if the money is in England, if it's British money in England, then it's called kesef, then it's legal tender. But if it's Israeli money in America, the boy learns in the yeshiva, he brings the money back to America, Israeli coins in America are not legal tender. It's not recognized by the government. You cannot be paid. If the coin would still be in Eretz Yisrael, you'd be able to use it to be paid your Ma'aser Sheni in America. Because it depends where the coin is. But once you brought the coin back to America with you, you can't use it to be paid in Ma'aser Sheni in America, because then it's called Shavei Kesef. It's not called Kesef. It's only legal tender in the country where that government sponsors that coin. So when it comes, let's say, the boys come back from Eretz, they bring the Pruta Chamor with them. What do they do with it? When it comes Erev Pesach of the fourth year, Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year, they're supposed to dispose of the coin, they're supposed to destroy it. How are they going to destroy it? So Gemara says, throw into the Yam HaMelech. He's nowhere near the Yam HaMelech. Well, he's going to send it there to Zot to throw in the Yam HaMelech. What they often do is, they take an acid, this is against the law. In America, it's against the law to destroy American money. But a lot of people do. A lot of non-Jews destroy American money. So they'll take an acid, and they'll put the coin in the acid. And if you wait a minute or two, the whole coin will disappear. It'll liquefy. So that's the din of biur. When you have Trumas and Maisvus, and it comes there at Pesach of the fourth year, at Pesach of the seventh year, you have to give all the Truma to the Kohen, you have to give the Maisvus Rishon to the Levim, then you have to eat up all the Maisvus Sheni. And if it's Tana Maisvus Sheni can't eat it up, then you have to be paid in the Maisvus Sheni and destroy the coin. You have to destroy the coin. So they used to destroy those who live in Eretz Yisrael, destroy the coin by throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, and then I guess the salt will, there's so much salt there, the salt will probably destroy the coin. And if you live in America, then you can destroy the coin by liquefying it, by using the right kind of an acid. Anyway, so this is an interesting, and the Pas HaShulchan, and in the author's edition, not Nuhay's author's, he quotes a Chuvas HaRavaz who distinguishes between Pidyon Ma'aser Sheni and Pidyon Neter Ravai. Can you be paid there? You can be paid the Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, even though it's Tohar, even though it was never Hukshel HaKaptum, it's Tohar, even though it's Bekir of Makam, because since the name is Bech Banui, so you can't eat the Ma'aser Sheni the way it is, whatever. It's one din, it's not two different dinim. You can be paid the Ma'aser Sheni Berich of Makam, Chutz LYerushalayim, or you can be paid the Ma'aser Sheni in the state of Tumah. No, it boils down to two dinim at the end of the day, it's Atzad HaShav HaShavim, it's one din. Whenever the Ma'aser Sheni is in a situation, in a condition, that there's no mitzvah to eat it, for whatever reason, either because it's tummy, because it's at Machem, or because there's no mizbech bonnet, then it lends itself to pinyon. So the Radva says that only applies to Ma'aser Sheni, the Gemara only has Ma'aser Sheni, it doesn't apply to Neter Ravai. And they bring the Raya from this Tesis. The Tesis seems to hold like that. We mentioned yesterday the idea from the Avnei Nezer, I don't think it's right at all. I think it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, we did the Gemara yesterday. A ger, a non-Jew who wants to convert, ger shen nisgar bizman hazeh, what's the issue? So we learn out all the laws of geris are learned out from Maimon Hasina. So Maimon Hasina, first and foremost, there was Kabbalah's on mitzvahs. Everybody said Nasa v'nishma. If you have a ger, who doesn't accept any mitzvahs, the whole geris doesn't take effect at all. There's some professor here in Eretz Yisrael who put out a book 30 years ago, and he claims that the idea that a ger has to have kapovos on mitzvahs is only invented by Yitzchak Shmelkish, who wrote the Jewish Beis Yitzchak in the 1850s. That's utterly ridiculous, that the ABC of gerus, that you need kapovos on mitzvahs. That's from the Gemara like that. There's beferish in the Gemara that you need kapovos on mitzvahs. If a goy converts, he wants to join the Jewish people, but he doesn't plan, he says he doesn't plan to observe any mitzvah. That's not a gerus. A gerus is a religious idea, that he's mekabel all mitzvahs on it. So everything is learned out from Maimon HaSinai. So you need kabbalos on mitzvahs, that's nasa v'nishma. Then the milot in Eretz Mitzrayim, before they ate the Korban Pesach, was not only to enable them to eat Korban Pesach, that was the milot in Shem Geris. Then it says in the Chumash, all the married people had to be purish in the Shoseyah 3 days before Maimon HaSinai, that we didn't want, not only the men shouldn't be balkeri, the women shouldn't be poleta shechmazera. So you can be poleta shechmazera up until 3 days after having tashmish. So not only does the pasuk require that the married couples have to be tohor, the Gemara shows how we read in between the lines, the single people had to go to mikvahs. So you see that you need milo and tefillah in the mikveh, and kabbalas on mitzvahs, and then the pasuk says at the end of mishpatim that they brought special korbanas. That's a din of korbanas agir. So what about a gerush and his garbis manazeh? So the Gemara increases the avtesim and alak, raises the question. You shouldn't be able to be mekabel a ger bismanazeh. The Gemara says no. There's a pasuk that says v'chayar geritchem ger the derasechem. So the pasuk, the word the derasechem means you can accept gerim in all generations. Rashi quotes Croesus and stuff. This what I'm quoting is tesam adalam. Kachem kager kavasechem the whole thing. Hatzuas dam means you need a korban. So just like in Maimon HaSinai they brought a korban, so to the Doris, you need a korban. So the question, what? How can you be mekabel gerim as manazeh? So the Gemara says, it's okay, because it says chayagret mecher the Doris sechem, and the Chumash speaks about a generation where there won't be a Beis Hamikdash. Vashemosi has mikdashich malay ariach bereach nichoy chachem. So that's how you know. So the Avdenezer came up with the chiddush. He said, but the Brisa says here, gerish and his garb is manazeh tzorach sheyafresh rov alakino. Why is it mechuyev to be set aside money? If the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt during his lifetime, he'll bring the korban. Why did he have to set aside the money now? And then they saw that a takala was coming out, that there were gerim, there were a lot of gerim. They were all setting aside money and all the money disappeared. So obviously someone by mistake was using the money that was hukdash, kedushas dam and lam mizbeach, that using it for their own purposes. Rabbi Yechem Zaka abolished that practice. Not a small idea. So the Avodah Zarah had this Mishunah de Gechidish, the Pashtas is not correct. Doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara increases at all. Avodah Zarah usually is absolutely sheer genius. He had a lot of Talmidim, but they weren't genius like him. He was sheer genius. Rabbi Soloveitchik loved the Avodah Zarah because he was also a genius. So Avodah Zarah is a fantastic genius. But this is a difficult, He suggests, whatever you're able to do is ma'akev. So, b'zman she'en beis hamikdash can't be makrev the korban, but you can be makdash the money. So therefore, since you can be makdash, since you can set aside $100, $200 to buy the oil of sa'if for the ger, korban ager is an oil. So the hafrasha of the money is ma'akev. The akrod is not ma'akev because you can't do it. It's an idea. It's a wild idea, whatever you can do. So that's a discussion. What if a non-Jew wants to convert and he has a heart condition and the doctors say if you'll perform a bris on him, he may die. Or he has hemophilia and if you do any surgery, he'll bleed to death. So some of the Gedolim came up with this idea. But just like the korban is not mi'akev, because if he can't do it, it's not mi'akev. You don't have a beis hamikdash, so the korban is not mi'akev. So if this person happens to have hemophilia or a heart condition or something, and it's medically he's not allowed to be bleeding, he may die because of the bleeding. So he can become a ger without milo. This Sridi Yesh is a collection of chuas by Rav Chaya Yaakov Weinberg. He was the top Magister in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin before the war. And then after the war, the Hildesheim Seminary was closed before the war. But after the war, he lived in Switzerland and he functioned. He died around 55 years ago or so. So he has there a discussion of this topic. If a non-Jew wants to convert, and he's unable to have a milah, can he become a ger without milah? So he has a letter from Rav Chaim Oizer there. Rav Chaim Oizer used to be the gabbai for the Vada Yeshivas. Hundreds of thousands of dollars went through his hand. He kept records how many students there are in every yeshiva and Lithuanian yeshivas. And he gave money. They got money from America, money all over Europe. He would distribute the money according to how many students, according to the needs of all the various yeshivas. So Rav Chaim Oizer once went to a religious Jew, had a factory, he was a wealthy man, and he got him to give a significant donation for the Vada Yeshivas. So then after he gave the money, the Balabas, the owner of the factory, shows Rav Chaim Oizer. He's very proud of the fact that he converted. He wasn't Jewish, and he converted, became Jewish. So he has hanging on the wall in his factory the letter that the Rabitzala Panavisha wrote when he was Megayer him. So he writes in the letter in Hebrew that he wasn't able, he had a heart condition, he wasn't able to have bris milah because he would die. So he paskin, Rabitzala Panavisha was always a big Bal Mechadish. He was the biggest Bal Mechadish of his generation. A lot of his chidushim were not accepted halacha l'maaseh because they were against gemaras. It was a little too much. A lot of them were wild, so they didn't accept a lot of his chidushim. They tell the story about the Chazon Ish. When the Chazon Ish was a teenager, so he wanted to go learn in a yeshiva. So he went to Panevish to learn Rabitzel at Panevish. He was a big Baal Mechadish. So he realized that he made a mistake. And Rabitzel was standing by the shtender, holding the gemara and the Chazon Ish. Took a Mishnah Shkolim in the back of Psochim. He opened it up to the first Mishnah that contradicted what he was saying. He was saying Shiran Kiddushin about Hanukkah, Eved Ivri, when you do Ritziah by the Eved Ivri, but he said something that was against the Mishnah. So he opened it up and put it on the shtender that Rabbi Tzala should see that he made a mistake. And he walked out and he said, this time I realize that he made a mistake. Next time I may not realize that he's making a mistake, and I'm going to go thinking that what he said is correct. He can't learn here. He's not going to learn by Rabbi Tzala. He's too wild. He doesn't check all the things out. He had a lot of chidushim that were not accepted. Halacha l'maaseh. He had a lot of chidushim. So this was one of them. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer felt that he was wrong. He converted this guy without doing a bris milah because he felt whatever you can do, you can do. Whatever you can't do, it's good without it, just like the carbon. Korban is not me'akev if you can't do it. If you can't do it, it is me'akev. That's how the Abenezer learned, but the Pashto says that that's not the correct shot. There was a Chassidish Rebbe who was known as the B'nai Yisoscha. He was known as Pirsh Melech Dinov. He was the rabbi of Dinov. Now in Brooklyn, there's a Dinov Rebbe. The Dinov, I think, is the brother of the Minkacher Rebbe. So he opened up his own shtiebel, known as the Dinov Rebbe. So there used to be a Pirsh Melech Dinover, a Pirsh Melech Shapiro. He was the rabbi in Dinov. He wrote the Bnei Yisoscha. His Rebbe told him, and he's from Shevet Yisoscha. That's why he calls it Sefer Bnei Yisoscha. He has a Sefer in Halacha that's called Derech Pikudecha. It's like a Sefer HaMitzvahs. It only goes to the middle of Mishpatim, 50 some odd mitzvahs, and it comes out. They're not sure whether he never wrote the rest or the rest of the manuscript was lost, but it's a very nice sefer. And every mitzvah, he gives you details of the mitzvah, then he has some chidushim, and then he has al pi chassidus, al pi kabbalah, what's the tama mitzvah, very nice. The sefer derech pikudecha, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in one place, in the Bir Halacha l'maisa. So the derech pikudecha assumes a davar pashut, not like our nitzel upon a vision. Under the mitzvah milah, he talks about milah for a ger. So he assumes a ger who has a medical condition that prevents him from having a bris milah cannot convert. You don't say he can convert without the bris milah. He just has a suffix. Is the goy permitted to put his life in sakana in order to be moisa nefesh by Yiddishkeit? He wants to put his life in sakana to undergo milah. In order to be Jewish. But he's saying, no, that's like suicide. You're not allowed to do that. since the doctor is afraid he's going to die. That's his sofik, but he assumes a double partial like Rav Chaim Oizer. Chaim Oizer was a few centuries later. The Dinava was in the 1700s. Rav Chaim Oizer was in the 1900s. So he assumes a double partial that a goy cannot convert if he has a medical condition that prevents him from performing a bris milah. He cannot convert without the bris milah. Not like Rav Nitzolev Ponovitcher said. That's what the Rav Chaim Oizer, the Sfida Yesh, Weinberg, used to correspond with different rabbanim. So on this shot, he corresponded to Rav Chaim Oizer, and he wrote him the whole story about the ger with the Ksav Geris in the factory. He thanked him for the donation. He said, I want you to know you're not Jewish, though. the Rav Nitzolev Ponovitcher is wrong. Rav Nitzolev Ponovitcher has a lot of chidushim like that. He had a chidush. Got a chiddush that you're not permitted to deliver a hesped on Chanukah and Purim because it's a violation of simcha. So he said the rabbi is not allowed to deliver a hesped, but the oinen, the avelim, are allowed to deliver a hesped because they're not allowed to do any mitzvahs. They're not in violation of simchas yontet because they don't have the mitzvah to do simchas yontet. And oinen, before the kura, is not allowed to volunteer any mitzvahs. So one of the mitzvahs that is not allowed to volunteer is simchas Chanukah. So the whole prohibition against delivering has been because it's a contradiction to Simcha. So he said, the Oinen is allowed to live. We don't accept that opinion because we say not only is it a violation to deliver a hesped on a yom, but it's a violation to listen to a hesped. So what are you going to do? You're going to pull the plug? He's going to deliver a hesped. No one's going to hear him. It doesn't make any sense. So we have not accepted. He has a lot of chidushim. We have not accepted his chidushim. Okay, that's just old business. Okay. So the Gemara listed off, they ascertained 8 out of the 9, they had a historical tradition, there were 9 takonas of Rabbi Yechanan and Zakkai. And then the Gemara on the previous daf said that it was Dorish V'Iskin. One of them was a din d'oraisa, it wasn't a takon of the Rabban. The Yom Tenuf HaSa'imer, all day long, you're not allowed to eat Chodosh. Gemara thought that was a real din d'oraisa, not a din d'Rabban. So 8 out of the 9, we know what they are. The 9th one, there was a machlekes. So one opinion is that it's the Kerem Avai, that within one day's distance, traveling distance from Yerushalayim, and not allowed to be paid in the Neter Avai, that was a takana of an earlier business. Rabbi Yechem Azaka, after the Churban Abayis, was mevatl that takana. So being mevatl an earlier takana also counts as a takana. That was the first opinion. And then the second opinion was that it's not really here on the third white line, on the Flamed Aleph and Beis, from Nachma Yitzchak Amar Loshen Shol Dehoris, the 9th takana is not the Kerem Avai that he abolished that earlier takana, a different one. What? On Yom Kippur, when they did that, what does Yom Kippurim say? That when they were pushed the Soy Hamshtalech over the cliff, so a miracle would occur every year. Based on the pasuk in Novi, Miuchatoechem Kashonim. Even if the sins are red, like the color shani, all the sins will be forgiven. Kashelag yalbinu, turn like white. So they used to have a loshen shel zahoris. They used to have a piece of cloth that was dyed red, dark red. And they used to turn white on Yom Kippur. When they did, when they pushed the soy mishtalech over the cliff, a miracle would occur. So the Gemara quotes the whole story, the Tanya. But Rishon in the earlier generations, so you kosher him, Loshen Shel Zahar. Loshen means a piece of cloth that was dyed Zahoris. Al Pesach Ulam, Ibachot. The Ulam is in front of the Hechel. You have the Kodesh Kadoshim, but you have the Oren. The Baisheni, the Oren was not there. The Baisheni, the Oren was in the basement. And then you have the Hechel, where you have the Menorah, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbach HaKtoris. Then in front of the Hechel, you have the Ulam, that was wider than the Hechel. And the Gemara discusses what's the different places in Zvachim, what's the status of the Ulam. Then you have Beit Ulam Ulam Mizbech, then you have the Mizbech HaChitzon. So, he used to tie the piece of cloth that was dyed red, Al Pesach Ulam Ibachutz. He used to tie it in front of the Heichal, in front of the Ulam. And all the people would see if it turned white or not. So if Hilbin, if it would turn white, Ho Yismechem, the whole Tzibu would be rejoicing. He saw a miracle occurred. A piece of cloth that was dyed red would turn white. So that's to fulfill the prophecy, Miyuchatach and Kashanim. Kashela Yabim, all the sins were forgiven. And if Lehil bin, if the miracle didn't occur, how you would save him, so that Tzibu would be upset. So the Kadam and the Beis HaMikdash didn't like that. that sometimes the miracle didn't always occur, that the red garment would turn white. His kino, the Chachamim made a takana in the earlier generations, but Yishayna, they made a takana, Shiyukoshim also, they tie the Loshon Shol Zaharis, a Pesel Ulam Bifnim. They tie it on the entrance to the Ulam, Pischu Shol Ulam is very wide. They would tie it on the inside, so the people outside in the Azar couldn't see. But dying, it was still a problem. They would lean over and peek into the Echo to see whether the miracle occurred. They would peek out to look at, to see the Loshon Zol Zahar, to see Hilben HaYismechel, Hilben HaYat save him. If it didn't turn, why would they be upset? And they would grumble about this. So they made a later takona, Shiyukoshim also, Yeripin in half, Chetzio B'Sela V'Chetzio Ben Karnam Shol Tzorim Shtolem. They would tie half of the Loshon Shel Zahoris on the horns of the Tzor HaMishtolel. So they pushed it over the cliff. So they would roll down the mountain. It would be torn apart to pieces. It would be all over the mountain. So no one would be able to see it. It would go down the mountainside. They would never find it. However, they would tie Chetzio B'Sela. Half of this piece of cloth that was dyed red would be on one of the boulders there on the cliff where they pushed over the Tzor HaMishtolel. So there was still a problem. The people could see the one that was on the cellar. So it says still, V'chetzio ben karm shel Tzor HaMishtolel. So that was, it says they made, oh, so that was the takana that they made. So no one will see the Loshon Shel Zaharis. If you're going to have the Loshon means the piece of cloth. If you're going to have it in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't hide it in the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're going to have it over there, by the cliff, so there's nobody there. Just the Ish Iti is going to be there. And half of it will be tied on the horns of the Tzor HaMishtolel. So it's going to roll down the side of the cliff. No one's going to see that. And the half that's on the cellar, they're not going to see. Showing they solved the problem. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak claims that was the 10th takana that Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai made. So the Gemara is going to ask, how can it be? The Gemara is going to ask, historically, it's not correct. Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai lived to the age of 120. So the first 40 years, he worked for a living, and he retired at the age of Osag B'Prakmatya. At the age of 40, he retired and started to learn. From the age of 40 to 80, he learned, and then he was the biggest Talmid Chachma. Then they appointed him as the chief rabbi from 80 till the age of 120. But part of his 40 years as chief rabbi, part of it was Bizman Abayis, part of it was after Bizman Abayis. We don't know how much time was Bizman Abayis, we don't know how much was after the Churban Abayis. But this we know, that the miracle of the Loshon Shel Zaharis, that it would turn white, didn't occur the last 40 years of the Bayis Sheni. And Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was still the chief rabbi for quite a few years after the Churban Abayis. We don't know how many years. So if the last 40 years of Zman Abayis, the Loshon Shel Zaharis didn't turn white, that's what the Gemara says, three lines from the bottom. Mem Shana Kodem Shechad Nechra Abayis, Loya Loshon Zaharis, Malbin, Ela Madim, it would remain red. So what do you mean Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai wasn't the chief rabbi then? 40 years before the Churban Abayis, he was a student then. He wasn't the chief rabbi. So how can that be that? That's one of the 10 takonis. Gemara says, no, he was a student, the last line. And for the Gemara, he was a student, Yoshev Lifnei Rabbi Habib Rama Milsa, and he made this suggestion, instead of having the Loshon Shel Zaharis tied on the Pesach HaUlam, have it tied by the on the Tzor HaMishtolel. Nobody will see it, it'll roll over the side. So the chief rabbi liked it, and they instituted the Takana in his name, even though he was not the chief rabbi at the time, he was a student. So that's what this opinion, Rav Nachman Yitzchak thinks, 8 of the takonas we know for sure, and the 9th one we're not sure. Whether it's this takona to repeal the earlier takona, that you don't have to bring the Paris within one day's distance travel from Yerushalayim. You have to bring it to Yerushalayim. Is that the 9th takona? Or is the 9th takona this one? That you should no longer put the Loshon Shel Zaharis on the Pesach HaUlam. The people are going to see and they're going to be very superstitious. If it turns white, they're going to rejoice. If it remains red, they're going to be upset. They said, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai said, don't put it in a public place. Have it on the head, on the horns of the Tzor HaMishtolel. Those are the 9 takonis. Okay. Next Mishnah.
What are the 2 other examples where Shabbat Kisim is not the Kisim?
One is Pidya Mashasheni, that's a din deraisa. Another one is questionable, but it's deraisa rabbana when you give Machasa Shekel every year for the purpose of purchasing the Karbonas Tzibur. So the Gemara said you have to give that kikesh, you're not Yotzei Shavu Kesef. These are Brisa and Chorus, Daf Nun Aleph. That there are three cases where Shavu Kesef is Lavki Kesef. Moshe Feinstein wrote his main life's work was that he wrote, a Chibur on Yerushalmi. And he lost it in Europe when he was traveling and running away from the communists. He didn't succeed in bringing it with him to America, and he always bemoaned the fact he felt that that was his life's accomplishment. So he has in his Chuvas, he refers to what he wrote on Yerushalmi on Shkolim. He wrote a Chibur on all the Yerushalmi. So he wrote that that's a din deraisa. Others say it's only a din derabbanan, that Machzor Shekel you have to give dafke kesh as opposed to shavu kesef. The third din, everyone agrees, is only a din derabbanan. When you come shavu shekolim and you want to buy an oilas riyah, you have to pay cash. You shouldn't buy it with shavu kesef. So Rashi on the Gemara Bcharis daf in Aleph quotes the Yerushalmi. What's the reason for that din derabbanan? But the one that's for sure deraisa is pidyon ma'aser sheni has to be dafke kesef. Kesef sheyesh olav tzur, he can't use shavu kesef. And machzor shekel is a question, two girsas in the Yerushalmi, whether that's a din deraisa. And one for sure is the rabban. Purchasing the oilas riya, you have to purchase with cash, but that's only mid the rabban. So now, on Rosh Hashanah, whenever you say Nishman Esri, so you always start with the Gimel Rishonos, always in Gvuras and Kedushas Hashem, always the same till the end of Akel HaKadosh, on Aseres HaMeichu, it's HaMelech HaKadosh. You always end Nishman Esri with the same three brachas, Ritzei, Emoidim, and Sim Shalom, or Shalom Rav. The first Gimel Rishonos is Gimel HaKadosh. And then in the middle of the year, in the middle of the weekday, so you have, we have now 13 brachas in the middle. It used to be 12. It used to add up 3 and 3 and 12 was 18. We have 19. We assume that they added Velam Al Shinim. The Gemara said that was added. And then the Gemara says, who are the ones who composed the Nusach HaTfila? Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, which was a body of Chachamim that consisted of 120 Rabbanim, Ubehem Kama Nevim, and amongst them were several Nevim. What's the significance of mentioning Ubehem Kama Nevim? Reb Chaim Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, you had to have a Koyach HaNevuah to be able to compose a tefillah that was composed well over 2,000 years ago. It was supposed to the beginning of the Vaisheni period, and we still basically use the same tefillah. Some of the brachas we had to change because there's no more Beis HaMikdash, but basically the Shemoneh Esrei remains the same. So the Gemara says, how many parts you have in the tefillah you need Koyach HaNevuah to decide. So when they instituted Shemoneh Esrei, 18 brachas, they had a mokrim in Tanakh, that you have a right to make a tefillah with 18 units. When they added Velam Al Shinim and they made it 19, so they had a source that you have a right to make 19. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't have 18, 19 brachas, we only have 7 brachas. Gimel Rishonos, Gimel Acharonos, and one in the middle, the bracha for Kedushas Hayom, Mekadesh HaShabbos, and Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim. So they have a mokrim in Tanakh that there's such a thing as a tefillah with 7 units. Then on the Tainis Sibur, when they would be fasting, so the Chazan, when he daven mincha, would add another 6 brachas in the Chazoras HaShatz. So the Chazoras HaShatz had 18 brachas plus 6 is 24. Mar said there's a mokrim in Tanakh that you can make a tefillah with 24 units. What do you do on Rosh Hashanah? The Rosh Hashanah should have Gimel Rishonos, Gimel Achronos. He should have a middle bracha, Kedushas Hayoyim, Kadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron, and then you should have Malchus HaKadosh Shayfers. So 3 and 3 and 3 and 1. So it should be 10. But there's no mokim in Tanakh that you have a right to make a tefillah with 10 units. There's only a mokim you have a right to make a tefillah with 9 parts. That's the mokim from Tefillah's Chana. Chana went to the Mishkan Shiloh. She was married for some years. She had no children. The other wife, Penina, had a lot of children. Chana had no children. So she was crying, and she offered a tefillah, and tefillah schana, she mentioned Shem Hashem 9 times. So the Gemara says, based on the fact that tefillah schana has Shem Hashem 9 times, and she was, the chana was nifkedu on Rosh Hashanah, her prayers were answered on Rosh Hashanah. She's going to have a baby. She gave birth to Shmuel HaNavi. So that's why the Tanoim, the Anshei Knesset HaGadol instituted that the Amidah, it's hard to call it the Shmona Esrei, doesn't have 18 brachas. Amidah that we say in Rosh Hashanah has 9 brachas and not 10. So how do you have 9 but you have 10 themes? You have always the Gvuras and Kedushas Hashem, the first 3 and the last 3. In Ritzei is called Avoida, and Avoidim is called Oidoya, and Shalom, Sim Shalom. Then you have to have the Kedushas Hayoyim, the Kadosh Zal the Yom HaZikor, and then you have Malchus and Shofars. How do you take 10 and make them into 9? So you have to combine 2 of the brachas together. So that's a 3-way machlokes HaTanoim, which 2 brachas do you combine? So the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri has one shita, and Rabbi Akiva has another shita, and then the Gemara quotes a brisa, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a 3rd shita. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's shita is that you combine Malchias with Kedushas Hashem. The 3rd bracha is Atta Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh Kedoshim B'chol Yom Aluch HaSel Baruch Atta Hashem HaMelech HaKodesh. And Aseres may truly change it to HaMelech HaKodesh because the theme is Malchias. So put Malchias together with HaMelech HaKodesh. Since the bracha is anyway HaMelech HaKodesh, so you combine these 2 together. And then the 4th bracha is going to be Kedushas Hayoyim. And you say the end off with the bracha Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. So the 4th bracha is going to be Kedushas Hayoyim. Then the 5th and the 6th are going to be Zechronos and Shofars. Then you're going to have the last 3. So you have the Shmona Esrei and the Amidah consists of 9 brachas, and you combine, but they're really 10 themes. So we combine the theme according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. You combine the theme of Malchias with Kedushas Hashem, because an Aser is made sure for Kedushas Hashem. You don't say Kel HaKodesh, you say HaMelech HaKodesh. And since you're speaking of the theme of Malchias, they put Malchias there. So the Yerushalmi says that in the Galil, the practice always was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. In Yehuda, the Eretz Yehuda, the practice was like Rabbi Akiva. And that's what we paskin. That's what we paskin. So, we have a meaning that some had the practice, not a din, it's a meaning. Some had the practice all Aseres HaMei Tshuva. We only have it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We don't have all Aseres HaMei Tshuva. That in the middle of Atta Kodesh Shemcha, Shemcha Shemcha Yom Yahalu Chasela, we add 3 paragraphs. V'chein tein pachtecha, v'chein tein kovet, v'chein Hashem Akeinu. 3 times of v'chein, 3 paragraphs. So some say, Rav Soloveitchik's uncle wrote this, Krakowski. And Rachim Krakowski was the son-in-law of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he has a sefer on the Rambam, Avodas HaMelech. And he thinks, he has a suggestion, Rav Soloveitchik thought it was a very good suggestion, that the piyut that we have, v'chein tein pachta, v'chein tein kovet, and so on, is a carryover from the days that they used to daven like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, used to include Malchias in the bracha of Atta Kodesh, v'shimcha Kodesh. So these paragraphs of v'chein tein pachtecha means a day will come when all the world will accept the Malchias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chein tein pachtecha, it's not a bakosha. The day will come that God will see to it that the whole world will accept Malchusai. So that's a carryover from those days that they used to follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's practice in the Galil. They used to mention, they used to say Malchias and incorporate it in the Brocha of Kedushas Hashem. We say V'chein Tein Bachtecha, but it's only a piyut and it's not Miyakev. So we follow Rabbi Akiva that you combine together the theme of Malchias with the theme of Kedushas Hayom, because the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. So you're talking about Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of Rosh Hashanah, the essence of Rosh Hashanah is the theme of Malchias. So we join together Malchias with Kedushas Hayom in the 4th bracha. First 3 brachas don't have Malchias, they put Malchias together with Kedushas Hayom. And the 3rd sheet in the Tanaim is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, quoted in the Braisa, that just like all year long on Shabbos Yom Tov, the bracha of Kedushas Hayayim is in the middle. There are seven brachas in the Shemana Esrei, and the fourth one is in the center, and the fourth one is in Kedushas Hayayim. So Rosh Hashanah also, you have the Gimel and Shana's Gimel Akharinus, and the Gimel Amtsoyas Amalkavarinus Shaifers, and you should put Kedushas Hayayim with Zichrinus in the middle. So that, the meaning is certainly not like that. That we don't do at all. But in Eretz Yisrael, during the period of the Tanayim, the practice in Galil used to be like a Bicham in the Rit, and practice in Eretz Yehuda used to be like Rabbi Akiva. So the Mishnah is going to quote the debate that they had. So the Mishnah starts off, Lamed Beis Amin Aleph. Say the brachas, Adi Yidavah Nishman Esrei on Rosh Hashanah. I'm always a Gvurus of Kedushas Hashem. That's the same. Whenever you say Shman Esrei, it always starts off, Alokeinu Lokei Aviseinu Magen Avraham. That's obvious. Gvurus Ata Gibor Mechaya Amesim. That's Gvurus. Kedusha Hashem, usually end of HaKel HaKadosh, Tzeres Meitshu Misa Melech HaKadosh. V'kodol Malchias Imohem, this is Rabbi Chamanu Yishita. You incorporate Malchias in the Bracha of HaMelech HaKadosh. Ain't no tokei. You don't blow Shofar after Malchias. We're used to thinking, you blow Shofar after Malchias, Achronis, and Shofars. We'll have to get to it. There's a Rashi like that later. The Mishnayos have like that on Amud Beis. So here, Rabbi Chamanu holds no. You incorporate Malchias into Kedushas Hashem, because Kedushas Hashem and Aseres Meitshuv we say HaMelech HaKadosh, and you don't blow Shofar after Malchias, you blow Shofar after the fourth and the fifth and the sixth brachas. The fourth bracha is only Kedushas Hayayim. That's what he says. Ve'ein HaTokeya. Then you say Kedushas Hayayim as a fourth bracha v'Tokeya. Zechronis v'tekev, Shofar v'tekev. Ve'omer avoyda v'haydo v'birchas kayim. You end off the Shemana Esrei the same as you do all year long. Ritzei is called the bracha of avoyda because the term ritzui is a technical term that ruba deruba only appears in Tanakh in connection with karbonis. It says a lot of times v'nirtzo lo l'chaper olav, and the Mishnayos have a lot of times when the korban is acceptable, so it says hurtza. Korban is possible, it says lo hurtza. So Ritzei is the bracha of avoyda. Avoyda means hakrovus karbonis. When the Chazan recites, we spoke about when the Chazan recites Ritzei, he's asking that the tefillah should be accepted. Said Am Chesed of Israel, Hakadosh Baruch Hu should accept the tefillah as if we brought a korban. So that's Rabbi Yechiman Nuri's opinion. Amalar Rabbi Akiva, he disagrees with him. Emeinu Tokeya, if he's not going to blow shofar, Emeinu Tokeya the Malchias, he's not going to blow shofar after Hamelach Hakadosh, but Malchias Lama Hu Masker. So why does he bother to say the Malchias at all? So the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? It's a din, you have to say Malchias. What do you mean? Why do you say? It's meaningless to say Malchias if you're not going to blow shofar. Why? What's the argument? So Gemara is going to explain. Lama Hu Masker. Ela Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and we follow Rabbi Akiva. Elohim Ha'Ovis Agurus Kedush Hashem. And you don't put Malchias. However, V'kol Malchias and Kedush Hashem, the fourth bracha, the middle three brachas are Malchias and Shofars, and together with Malchias, you put Kedush Hashem. And that makes sense, because the theme, every Yontav has a separate theme. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias, so we put together Kedush Hashem, the bracha Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yamazi Koren, you put that together with Malchias V'Tokeya. You blow after Malchias, Zechronis V'Tokeya, V'Shofars V'Tokeya. Blow Shofar after Malchias, Zechronis and Shofars. And then you end off the same as Rabbi Chaimanu, so V'Yamei Avoyda V'Haydo Birchas Kohan. Sim Shalom is called Birchas Kohan. So the Gemara is going to explain what was the argument of Rabbi Akiva. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Chaimanuri, Imeinu Tokeya L'Malchias. Bechmanuri says you insert Malchias, incorporate Malchias into the Baruch Hava Kodesh and Shivcha Kodesh. You're going to end off HaMelech HaKodesh, and you put Malchias there together with HaMelech HaKodesh. Rabbi Akiva says, if Rabbi Chaimanuri is right that you don't blow shofar, so why do you bother to say Malchias at all? Lamu Maskir, I said, Lamu Maskir? What are you talking about? Rachman HaMaikir. It's a din. The Torah says you have to say Malchias. Simple translation of the word sounds like reciting Malchias is a din deraisa. We mentioned that's what Rashi writes on Chumash. Rashi on Chumash sounds like he holds, and the Gemara also a few places. Sounds from Rashi as if he holds that reciting Malchias and Shofars is a din deraisa. Other Rishonim say, no, it's a takana derabbana. Rachman HaMaikir means, the halacha says you have to recite Malchias. Not that the Torah says. That's a machleka. Rabban Chumash holds that Malchias and Shofars is only derabbana. Rashi seems to hold that is deraisa. So the Gemara asks, what is Rabbi Akiva asking? If you're not going to blow shofar after HaMelech HaKadosh Malchias, why do you bother to say Malchias? What do you mean? It's a din, you got to say Malchias. No. Elolama Eselena Tesha. Why do you say 10 psukim? If you're not going to blow shofar, it should be sufficient with 9 psukim. Why? Holy Ishtani Ishtani. Since it's different, if there's a Chayinus and shofar, you're going to blow shofar, so there it makes sense that you say 10 psukim. But if you have the Malchias, Rabbi Chaman Nuri Hozi, you don't blow shofar, because you're saying Malchias together with Abdu Kodesh, Yishim Kodesh, HaMelech HaKodesh. So since you're not blowing shofar after Malchias, so why do you say 10 psukim? Should be enough with 9 psukim. Why? What does 9 psukim and 10 psukim have to do with whether you're going to blow shofar or not? That's very strange, Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik had a fantastic shot in his Gemara. Rabbi Hutna has the same shot in his Pachad Yitzchak. Some people think that he picked it up from Rabbi Soloveitchik, because it's uniquely Rabbi Soloveitchik. It's not the same style. Pachad Yitzchak has a lot of very beautiful things, but it doesn't fit in with his style. So he said the following. I'll say in a nutshell, Malchus Reina Shoifers are the Ikori HaAmunah. The Rambam lists off that there are 13 Ikori HaAmunah. We have the Animamans in the Siddur, is based on the Rambam and the Hirsham Shnayas, and the last Perek in Sanhedrin, where the Rambam lists off all the 13 Ikori HaAmunah. So Rabbi Yosef Albo lived after the days of the Rambam. He wrote a sefer called Sefer HaIkarim. He thinks that basically all the 13 Ikori HaAmunah can be boiled down to 3. And he says, these are the 3 themes of the 3 brachas, Malchus Reina Shoifers. On Rosh Hashanah, we say Malchus Reina Shoifers to review what the Ikori HaAmunah are. So, structure of the 3 brachas, Malchus Reina Shoifers, is the same. Each one of the 3 brachas begins with a statement of emunah. What do we believe in? So we say, how do we start Malchias? I forgot about it. Aleinu l'shabeh l'adon hakol. We start. We say, we proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king, and all the nations of the world will accept his malch. Zechayinus also, and shofars. The first paragraph in each one of the 3 brachas is a statement of emunah. We believe in the theme of Malchias, we believe in Zechreinus, that God knows everything that's happening, and there's reward and punishment, Tzchav Yonish, and Shofar. Shofar means that there's such a thing as Gilu Shechina. Whenever there's Gilu Shechina, there's always going to be Tkiyah Shofar. So the outline of all the 3 brachas is you begin with a statement of emunah, what the Ikar emunah is, then we quote Psukim to prove that this is the case. So usually when the Gemara wants to prove something, very often, you can't say usually, very often, they'll say, Dovah Zekasa Batorah V'shonim Avim Shulvash B'Ksuvim. Quote a pasuk from Chumash, and a pasuk from Navi, and a pasuk from Ksuvim. So one Tana said, that's enough. You have one pasuk from Chumash, one pasuk from Navi, one pasuk from Ksuvim. L'chatchila, we don't do that. Yeah, that's the last line on Lamed Beis, on the Aleph, on Lamed Beis. One Tana says, you don't need 10 psukim. Three psukim. One from Chumash, one from Nevi'im, one from Ksuvim. And we say, maybe the pasuk we quoted from Chumash, we quoted out of context. So we'll quote 3 psukim, like in Eka Chazoket. Maybe the first pasuk, maybe the second pasuk is not a conclusive proof. So we're going to quote 3 psukim from Torah. 3 from Ksuvim, and 3 from Nevi'im. How can we do it out of order? Why don't we always say Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? How come on Rosh Hashanah you have Torah first, then Ksuvim, then Nevi'im? So some of the Ran and the Rif, I think, says, because the Ksuvim, the Psukim from Ksuvim that we're going to quote, are from David HaMelech. And the Psukim from Nevi'im are going to be after the days of David HaMelech. So we're quoting the Psukim in chronological order of their being given. So first we quote Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu before all the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And then we have David HaMelech, we're going to quote always from Tehillim, from Ksuvim, and then the Nevi'im, we're going to quote from Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Cheskon, Treyos, this world after David HaMelech. So that's in chronological order. So you already have three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuv, three psukim from Nevin. What do you need the tenth pasuk for? So the tenth pasuk basically is to enhance the bakasha. The structure of each one of the three brachas, you start with a statement of what the Ikir and Amuna is. Then we prove, how do we know that it's true? And our practice is L'chatul, if they have three psukim from the Torah, three from Ksuvim, three from Nevi'im, just in case we're quoting out of context, and we quoted three psukim. Can't be out of context. But once you have all the nine psukim finished, what do you need the tenth pasuk? So the answer is the concluding paragraph in each one of these three brachas of Malchus and Shofar is a bakosha. So we say, L'kenu kevaseinu, V'lochol kol ha'olam kula b'chvaydecha. That's from Malchus. Please, we want you to be accepted and recognized as the king over the whole world. So see to it, all the nations of the world should accept you. Then you have Zechreinu, say, L'kenu kevaseinu, Zechreinu is the current type of anecha. We have a bakosha. Today is the Yom Adin. You should remember us in Nidin L'Toyva. Then in Shofar, say, L'kenu kevaseinu, T'kav b'shofar gadol l'cheveseinu. So that's a bakosha. So each one of the three brachas in Mazal HaShem ends off with a bakasha, and to enhance the bakasha, we quote a tenth pasuk. The tenth pasuk has nothing to do with the ninth psukim. The ninth psukim are just to prove that the Ikir and Amunah is correct, because that's what it says in Tanakh. Tenth pasuk is really in the concluding paragraph. By Zecharnas and Shofar, the tenth pasuk is in the concluding paragraph. By Malchius, it's not in the concluding paragraph. It comes after the first nine, but it really is not connected with the nine. So Vechik always insisted that the Balt, he would always ask when he gave the shiur in public, he would ask, who is the Balt Tfila? And he would give him a machs and say, what's the Nigan? So they would always say the Nigan, you say the ninth pasuk, then you pause. Ay, 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 ay. Then you say, okay, no, okay, I'm saying, I'm like, call it uncool, I'm like, wait, decha. So we'd always say, wrong. You're supposed to pause after the ninth pasuk. Because in Zechuenis and Shofar, the tenth pasuk is in the middle of the last paragraph. In Malchus, the Rishonim say, well, Malchus, we put the tenth pasuk after the nine, but it has nothing to do with the nine. We already proved the point by quoting nine psukim. Tenth pasuk really belongs in the concluding paragraph, so you should pause in between the ninth pasuk, and then after ay 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 ay, then you say Rasul Kasa Lema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Akein Hashem Lachanu Akein Akein Hashem Lachol Kol Alan Kulu Mechvedech. The Bakasha incorporates a pasuk from the Chumash. Please, Malachol Kol Alan Kulu Mechvedech, as you yourself promised, the day will come that Shema Yisrael Hashem Akein Hashem Lachanu. The day will come that all of mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king. And the same thing, Zechonis and Shofar, the tenth pasuk stands nothing to do with the nine psukim. Nine psukim are to prove the Ikir and Amunah is correct. And the tenth pasuk is to enhance the bakasha. You say, okay, Zechonis is the current table of Anacha, as it says in the Chumash. And then we say, Shofar, Kav Shofar Gadol HaKeveseinu, and we say, as it says in the Chumash. So that's what Rabbi Akiva says, Emeinu Tokeya. If Rabbi Yochanan is right, that you say Malchias together with HaMelech HaKadosh, and you don't blow Shofar afterwards, so why should you bother to say the 10th Pasuk? The role of the 10th Pasuk is to enhance the Bakasha at the end. So if Rabbi Yochanan says you don't blow Shofar, means that you're not going to have any Bakasha at the end of Malchias. So why should you have the Emeinu Tokeya? The whole purpose of the Tkiya is to elevate the level of the Bakasha. I think we mentioned that on the first day we were learning. Because the Gemara says in the end of Perek HaZohav in Bav Metzia, V'yom Shechor Beis HaMikdush Nino Lushari Tfilah. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Echa, Kam Ki Ezra Kashavea, Sasam Tfilah, so the Beis HaMikdush is basically Beis Tfilah Yikori, the Beis Tfilah. So after the Churban Beis HaMikdush, the Tfilahs are not accepted the way they used to be. But if you have a Tfilah Sheishim Ademois, Shari Tfilah Nino Lushari Shari Ademois Lo Nino Lu. If the person offers a real serious tefillah and he's moved to tears because such a serious tefillah, those tefillahs are accepted even bizman shein beis hamikdash kain. So blowing shofar is the form of demos, because it says yom tru yelachem tagiminan yom yabavo, and yabavo says ein sisra vati abeiv. So the Tkiya Shofar is like crying. That's supposed to elevate the level of the bakosha, the tefillah, the tchina, to the level of tefillah sheishima demos. But if Rabbi Hamanui says, you're not going to blow shofar, why not? Because there's no bakosha. You don't put a bakosha in Acha Kodesh and Shimcha Kodesh. You're just going to have the first two parts of Malchus. You're not going to have the final paragraph. So you're not going to have the Tkiya Shofar to enhance the tefillah, to elevate it to the level of a tefillah sheishima demos. So why do you need the 10th pasuk? The whole role of the 10th pasuk is that it should be to ask the bakosha and to emphasize, you promised in the Torah that this is what you're going to do. So if Rabbi Yechmaneh holds that you don't blow shofar after Malchias, because you put Malchias together with Hatta Kodesh, so why do you need the 10th pasuk? The 9 psukim are enough to prove the point. That was a Rav Soloveitchik interpreted this Gemara. That's in, you find it in the Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Hutna has it in his Sefer also, and it could well be that he heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, we'll stop here. This is an important Daf Gemara. Very important Daf Gemara.